Well, hello, hello, hello. How's everyone doing? Welcome back. Welcome back to another A-Queens Roundtable show and podcast for the Born to Lead docuseries. I have a super, super duper guest on with me this evening. Her name is Olivia Smith. I'm going to go ahead, shall I say, and tell you just a little bit about her. And then I'm going to bring her on and we're going to have a conversation in reference to leadership. So again, this is the Born to Lead docuseries, which stems from the book Born to Lead, Awakening the Leader Within. So Olivia Smith is a transformation expert, the founder of Write a New Story, and a master certified professional coach, counsels clients on leadership, team building, strategies for growth, conflict resolution, and company culture. Olivia began her career as a registered nurse and transitioned to the corporate world, founding and running a multi-million dollar organization. Due to a life-changing volunteer experience at the Tennessee Prison for Women, she was compelled to use her entrepreneurial skill set to meet the needs of her community by founding Healing Housing, the first and only transitional living facility for women in recovery in Williamson County. In addition to being a certified trauma-informed coach, Olivia remains on the board of Healing Housing and continues her work in the corporate space by bringing her clients insight into who they are and equipping them for the lasting forward motion. Since founding Write a New Story, her work quickly expanded into Vanderbilt University, where she successfully consults executive teams and business leaders across the United States. Olivia's signature process includes behavioral assessment work, followed by one-to-one debriefs, coaching individuals the edge they need to thrive in team situations, corporate environments, and helping them become high-performance leaders that are invaluable assets to the organization they partner with. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Olivia to the stage or to the studio, let her join us. Well, hello, Olivia. We're starting our conversation for the Born to Lead docuseries. Thank you again for being here. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, you're welcome, Jacqueline. It's wonderful to be here with you. What a treat. What a pleasure. And your intro music had me dancing.
Look, I'm off to dancing in my seat too over here a little bit.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So Olivia, I am so happy to have you here. I know this is our second time talking. When I talked to Olivia the very first time, I felt an instant connection. And I was like, wow, I'm so glad she's interested in being a part of this. And I think your story is awesome. And I'd like for you just to share a little bit more with the audience, because I know, you know, I think that's interesting in terms of working with the women in the prison and basically how your vision unfolded. So just tell us a little bit about that, about you and about how this all came to be.
Well, it's so interesting that you said the word story, because I named my company Write a New Story for a reason. And one of the reasons is when I was volunteering at the prison, I was at a point in my life where all I had been doing for the last 20 years was just working, you know, 60 to 80 hours a week, and had not had the time to give back. And so during that time, I decided to start volunteering and found a program at the prison that I was interested in volunteering with. And so that experience led me, that volunteer experience paired you one-on-one with an inmate, and you worked with that inmate once a week for 8 weeks, teaching them a class on decision making. And so I did the program probably three rounds of that. And in my third round, I was paired with an inmate named Stacy, and her story basically changed my life and led me. She was the inspiration for me then to take her story as my foundation and start a nonprofit which our mission was to serve women that were exiting treatment from alcohol and drug addiction, who had no place to go and no money, and provide housing, a transitional housing program with wraparound services, so that we could help those women get back on their feet and start a new life and write a new story for themselves. And so I took my previous entrepreneurial experience as a business leader and turned those skills, because I knew nothing about the nonprofit world. But, you know, if you decide you're going to do something, that's what leaders do. They set their mind and they set a vision and make it happen. So I formed a team of women, and we came together and understood that what the community needed was more substantive housing for the women who had no financial resources. What was happening was they were exiting treatment, cycling right back through the system because they had no money, therefore nowhere to go, no safe place to stay. And so it was just obviously a vicious cycle that was not going to be broken. So we stood in that, in the middle of that, and said, we're going to help be part of the solution.
Okay. And that's called Healing Housing, correct?
Healing Housing. Healing, okay. H-E-A-L-I-N-G, Healing Housing.
Okay. And what a state is this in? And what, like,
Tennessee.
What, oh, okay. Okay. So it's with the Tennessee, what is it called? The Tennessee State Prison, that is that where you started it at?
So I was volunteering in the Tennessee Prison for Women in Nashville. And so then the nonprofit is in Franklin, which is just out, this is just a suburb of Nashville. And so Healing Housing is a transitional housing program. We house 16 women at a time, and we take them, you know, it's door to door, straight from treatment into our housing program. And we keep them 6 months to a year. And it's just been an exciting journey. We're in our sixth year, and we've had almost 200 women come through. And it's just been an amazing experience.
That is amazing. Wow. So since, you know, we're talking about leadership, and I know that some of the audience out there, some of the women know that they're leaders. Others are just kind of, you know, sitting on the side saying, maybe, kind of, sort of. So how did you know? Well, okay. I'm going to ask just a couple of questions. You can just answer them however you wish.
Sure.
How did you know that you could pull this off? So I guess that's one question. And two, I know you mentioned that prior to this Healing Housing organization, you had some other businesses. So were there models in your family, like other women entrepreneurs, or how did that start? How did you know you were a leader? How did you know you had what it takes in order to have multiple businesses?
So that's a great question. The truth is, I don't know that I did know. I didn't wake up one day and say, oh, I'm going to be a leader, I'm going to do this or that. I was a nurse. I originally thought that's what my career would be in. And then I became a stay-at-home mom, which was another part of my story that was life-changing. Although I love my children and love staying at home, those early years, I recognized that I still needed something outside of that to fill the extra time that I had. And so I started a home-based business, which then led into a product gift and wholesaling manufacturing company. And that was never in my plan, never in my dream. And it was from the home-based business experience that I tapped into something in the market that I thought was a need. And so I just paid attention to that. I didn't know the first thing about business, but I decided to try out an idea in the store that was referring me all of the business for my home-based business. I had started a calligraphy business out of my home. And so the paper store that referred me the calligraphy business, I approached them and said, hey, I've got this crazy idea for a product that I think might sell in your store. Would you let me give it a try? And they said, no. Well, I don't like the word no. I don't like being told no. So after several attempts, I managed to convince them to give me 2 feet of space in their store for this rack of stationery product that I'd come up with. And sure enough, after 2 weeks, they had sold a boatload and they were calling me saying, wow, we didn't expect this. And I said, I told you so. And so the rest was history. So I literally, when they called and said how well it was selling, I'm not going to say I was surprised, but I didn't know what to do because I was thrilled that they had sold it, but I thought, oh my goodness, what does that mean? So for the next 15 years, it was literally every day learning on the job. But I think maybe what I have to offer your audience is just because someone tells you no, doesn't mean that that's the end of your story. If you believe in something, and I believed in the product, if you believe in something, whether it's an idea for a service business or a product business or whatever the idea might be, if you have confidence in your idea and you've done some research and you feel like you've done your market research and you feel like you're onto something, keep going. If you listen to entrepreneurial stories, it's shocking the times that you will hear an entrepreneur say, I was told no, the door was slammed in my face. I was trying to write a book and get a book deal and 45 publishers turned me down and I didn't give up. You hear it over and over and over again. And so I think what that teaches all of us is if you have the gumption to keep trying and keep putting one foot in front of the other and believe in yourself, you can do anything. And I think that's a lesson that sort of weeds out the weak from the tough, because the weak ones are going to fall off. And that's probably a good sign that they don't need to be in leadership. But the ones that can hang in and hang tough and keep trying and not give up, those are all qualities that end up being very important in leadership.
Absolutely. And, just hearing your story is amazing to me. And a couple of things, how you said that you didn't like hearing no. What I mean? A lot of people, they don't like hearing no, but they allow it to, maybe it's not a good idea, or they begin to start doubting themselves, But like you said, even though you didn't know, no one had coached you, no one was holding your hand. Olivia, you have to do this, you have to do this. This is step one, step two. You know what I mean? You had an idea. And you believed in yourself and you believed in that idea, no matter how many people may have thought it was a bad idea, And even sometimes, and I think it's important to also acknowledge that a lot of times we don't really have a lot of family support. And when other people get in our ear and start telling us, oh, that doesn't make sense, no one's going to buy that calligraphy, your time would be better spent doing this, and all sorts of stories. And little by little, sometimes we allow it to have us just like, okay, well, maybe they're right. We just kind of, just abandon ship. So I think it's so important to mention that, because some people may be out there going through the same thing, and debating about whether or not they want to give up, So I think it's important to hear that, to continue to be inspired and to continue to believe in yourself. I know Les Brown made a comment. He said that don't allow other people's opinion of you to determine who you are or how far you go. To me, right. That's very similar. You believed in your idea and look, and you said it took off in what, like 2 weeks?
Yeah, it took off pretty quickly. I will say, I had been trying this idea out on the women that had been coming to me for calligraphy. So I had been selling this particular handmade product to them, knew they loved it. And I had a repeated experience of each person that I would hand monogram these boxes of stationery for, they would ask for more. So it wasn't just a harebrained idea. I mean, I was basing this on what I was seeing actually happen through the home-based business. And I thought, well, if these women are liking it, how could I turn this into something that could actually be on the shelf in a store? And so it wasn't based on nothing or no experience or no market research. I felt like I was taking an idea to the store that I had tested and that I had the ability to tell them this is working. And so you certainly, if you're offering a service or a product, how are you different? What makes you different? You know, what's your argument? How are you going to sell yourself, sell your idea? And that is important to think through that and to have that planned out. But you just can't let the first person or the second person or the third person who says no to you set the course of the rest of your journey. You have to, you know, keep trying until every single door has shut. And maybe then that's telling you something. But I was able to make a door open and able to get a shot, and the rest was history. So,
yeah. So I know you don't have much time here today with us in the studio. What would you want to leave other aspiring, women entrepreneurs that are just kind of starting out or maybe just experimenting with the idea? What sort of advice would you give to them, or suggestions, I guess?
Well, the work I do now with my consulting company is 100% focused on the individual and helping the individual understand who they are. And there are a lot of things about my entrepreneurial journey that I look back on and realize, had I had the knowledge about who I am that I have now, had I had that knowledge back then, it might have really helped me as a leader and as a manager of people, as I built my company and hired employees and was, you know, looked to be the CEO and the leader. And the way I managed back then and the way I manage now is very differently. And it's because of the work I've done in the area of, you know, digging into who I am as a person, and through the behavioral assessment work, the DISC assessment work that I do with people. It's really been transformational. And I see the transformation that is happening now with the clients with whom I'm doing this work. And when you're able to dig in, do the assessment, and get the debrief that I do with my clients, and then with their teams and the CEOs on down through the company, it's so eye-opening for people to understand really who they are, how they're coming across to other people, how are they being perceived by other people? Is what they're saying being heard? Or is it being heard in a completely different way than the way they need it to be heard? And why is it when Jacqueline has a meeting with her staff and she's all excited and she's telling everybody what she's going to do, and there's no feedback given? Everybody sits quietly and it's crickets. Mm. Nobody wants to say anything. You know, what's going on? I hear it over and over and over again from leaders. I've got my team in the room. We're having a meeting. We're all, you know, I'm all excited. I'm presenting these new ideas and nobody will talk. Mm-hmm. And so it starts at the top with the leader having a really good understanding of who they are, what they're bringing to the table, how they're putting themselves out there. And then how are they being heard by their team? What is the makeup of their team? Have they been intentional about surrounding themselves with people who can bolster their weak spots? You know, it's so true to say, hire people that are smarter than you, that can do it better than you, and watch it go. So being very intentional, first of all, about digging in and being inquisitive about who you are as a person and a leader, and then allowing that work to be done within your organization. And it's just, that's how I'm helping companies write their new story, is by doing that work, digging in, doing the cultural work, and bringing new understanding within that organization to who the managers are, who the CEO is, and how to help everybody work together on a whole new way of understanding, built on a whole new way of understanding each other.
So it's like all of leadership, like the person at the top, as well as the other people underneath them that are helping the frontline people, so to speak, carry things out. The assessment is based on like everyone and what some of their strengths are and how they're coming across, that way they know how to work better.
Yes.
Together, as well as to, you know, filter it out, I guess.
That's correct. If the CEO comes to me and says, either I've got a great culture and I love offering team building opportunities, can you come do a workshop? The answer is yes. or they say, gosh, I'm having people problems. We have conflict. I'm not sure what's happening. We just need help. Can you come and do that? And I basically do the same workshop, no matter whether it's a good or a bad situation, because what is happening in both those situations is they need to understand who each other are as people. It's not about who I am at work, or it's about who am I in general? How am I showing up at work? And is the way I'm showing up at work vastly different than who I really am? And if that's the case, why is that happening? What's going on at work that's making me completely change the way I am and who I am naturally, and be so different when I'm showing up at work? Something's going on. Right. And you just dig in with each person. And I always make the CEO, it starts with them. You know, they've got to be willing to dig in and do the assessment work on themselves, as well as allowing their team to do that work.
Wow. So I know we don't have a lot more time, but just could you tell us like how long does that usually take? Like, what's the shortest amount of time you've got in and done this? And what's the longest amount of time? Because that seems very extensive.
A typical arrangement would be a CEO would hire me. They would start by taking their assessment, which I'd send a link. It's just an online link. They take the assessment. It probably takes no more than 15 minutes and they're through. I get their results back, and then I schedule a time to sit down privately and meet with them to go over their results. And I take them through, you know, about a 45-minute process where I do a slide presentation that talks about the DISC assessment, what it all means, and then their personal results and what those mean. And then they will say to me, gosh, let's do this on the leadership team, or let's do this on every employee. It just depends on what they're trying to accomplish. And so let's just say they start with their key management team. Let's say there are 10 people. So we send an assessment link to each of those 10 people. They all take the assessments. Then I get all of their reports back, and I actually can do a group presentation where we show everyone's results together. And then I schedule individual debriefs. So we'll do the group workshop, which is usually a 2 to 3 hour workshop, and we go over all the group results. Then I individually meet with each person for about 45 minutes and go over their individual assessment results. And then I circle back with the CEO and usually just kind of have a recap of what I heard in the individual sessions, and what the basic takeaways are from all those interviews and debriefs, and where we go from there. And it just sort of depends on where I feel like the weak spots are, whether it's in leadership or we just need more training, or kind of what the takeaways are from the interviews. But we just paired with what the CEO's impressions are, then we put together a training program that fits what they're looking to do over the course of the year, basically.
Okay. Wow. Very, very, very extensive. So leave us with, let the audience know, you know, like, I guess if they can, you know, purchase any of your materials, your website, you know, kind of where you hang out, how they can connect.
Best way is just to go to www.writeanewstory.com, W-R-I-T-E, writeanewstory.com. And there's a contact form on there. If they'd like more information, they can just send me a message through that, and we'll be in touch with them. And they can learn about the services on the website. I'm also on LinkedIn and Instagram and Facebook, wherever people like to go to find their information at Write a New Story. But I'd love to connect with anyone out there who's, you know, when you've been in the trenches, you feel that, you know, that pain, that angst of sitting in that chair. You're alone. You're at the head of the ship. You have nobody to talk to. And my individual consulting clients, coaching clients, you know, CEOs that I coach and consult with, it's lonely. You know, you can't go home and talk to your significant other because they really don't understand what you're talking about. You certainly can't share it with your employees. So you sit there day after day after day, sort of stewing in your own juices, trying to figure out all these issues, many of which are people issues, as you know. And I call it whack-a-mole. You get one taken care of and the next one pops their head up. It's just, you know, how it goes. So, you know, the private consulting work that I do really helps the CEO have a place to take that and work through those issues privately. And then if it's apparent that we need to do team building, culture building work, then we take it and we do it. But it usually starts with that leader trying to get it figured out. You know, where am I going wrong? What am I missing? How do I get over this hurdle? And we start there. And then it usually ends up in the team building work.
All right. So therapy for the CEO. I love it. Well, thank you so much, Olivia. This has been a wonderful experience. I know that the audience has gotten so much from this. And, you know, I hope, again, that we can collaborate at some point in the future.
Well, that would be great. You're always so gracious and kind and such a pleasant host, and just a pleasure to be with you. And I'm happy to help anybody that's in the trenches that feels like they're swimming upstream. You know, it's hard, but it's rewarding. But I'm happy to help.
All right. Well, thank you, Olivia.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
All right. You take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Wow, everyone. So that was really, really very informative. You know, actually focusing on thinking about leadership and actually focusing on the leader, right? Focusing on how they come off, how they're interacting with their employees, what other, you know, if this is their particular personality, is that what they're actually bringing in and, you know, bringing in into their actual leadership style? And if it is, you know, is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? You know, and what are some of the things that we're bringing in as leaders that we don't even know that we're bringing in, right? So that sounds really, really interesting to me. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, wow, I've never worked at an agency ever that has ever done anything like that. So I'm thinking to myself like, wow, I know a lot of the places I've worked at over these past 20 years could have used an assessment such as, you know, or have a consultant come in to do this type of work. So that's the whole purpose of this Born to Lead docuseries, is to help women, you know, primarily women entrepreneurs, basically, you know, give them personal, professional development to help them further along their leadership ability so they can be more effective leaders, right? So that they can have the impact that they actually want to have in their business and, you know, expand it the way that they want to, you know, so on and so forth. Because we've all gone into business because we have a passion, right? My throat gets so dry. We've gone into business because we have a passion. We want to, most of us, right? We want to help people. We want to help people live a better life. I know I initially started because I wanted to help other women increase their self-confidence, increase their self-esteem, because I recognized at some point that there's no way that I would have been where I am today if I had not worked on actually increasing or rebuilding my self-esteem and my self-confidence. So I said to myself, wow, because initially I didn't think I even had a story to share or either anything to say, right, that would actually help someone. But I began to realize that even just by sharing my own personal story could help someone else. There could be someone else out there that knows that they need to increase their self-confidence, right? They know that if they were to increase their self-confidence, they would be able to achieve a lot of the goals, you know, that they've set for themselves, right? But maybe they don't know how to go about it, or they don't think it's possible. So I'm here to be able to tell them that it's possible, right? These are the benefits of it, and this is how you can do it step by step, easy, feasible, actionable steps that you can begin to implement daily. And then you also have those other individuals. And we kind of talked about a little bit earlier when Olivia was here. We have those other individuals who are not really sure if they're a leader. Like other people have told them over the years that they possess, you know, leadership skills or want them to spearhead projects, right? However, they don't see themselves as a leader, right? So that's also something else that needs to be looked at. You know, why do you not consider yourself to be a leader? You know, are you afraid? Are you fearful? You know, maybe somewhere along the lines, Has that been some negative conditioning around leadership? You know, and that's come up in many of the talks as well, as I talk and interview with other women, is the whole idea of women being bossy. You know, like as a little girl, like I often hear stories that women were often told things such as, my throat is so dry. Women being told things such as, you're just too bossy, or you just want to tell everybody what to do, right? And at a young age, they began to kind of shrink back because they didn't get positive feedback when they would, take control or, you know, spearhead some sort of, game or operation or, you know, whatever the case is, right? And once you get a lot of negative feedback, oftentimes, you know, people just, they stop doing it. You know, they begin to look at like, maybe I shouldn't do that, or maybe that's not a good characteristic, right? Because I know coming up, I've often been told as a woman, you know, or shall I say as a female child, a girl, that I should be seen and not heard. And I can't tell you how many women I've interviewed and worked with over the years that have said that exact same thing, to be seen and not heard. You know, imagine what that does to one's psyche when you hear that over and over and over again, right? And it looks as if, like, I know African-American women in particular are increasingly, I want to say overeducated, increasingly educated, meaning like multiple master's degrees or multiple master's degrees, PhDs. I mean, educated out of this world. Right. And also African-American women in particular are starting businesses more frequently over the past, maybe 10, 15 years, that the numbers are going steadily, steadily, steadily up. Right. So what that shows me is that women are taking charge. They're taking control. They're walking in that innate ability of leading. They are accepting that leadership role. They are putting that crown on their head and walking proudly with it. So that's why this whole Born to Lead, this is the Born to Lead docuseries, where I'm interviewing entrepreneurs where they can share their story, like Olivia, and there's numerous others that are going to be sharing their story with you. And the book itself, that this actually, how this all started, is the Born to Lead, Awakening the Leader Within. And that is specifically talking about the innate leadership qualities that women have within them. Even running a household, you're running an organization, you're running a business, no matter how big or how small it is, right? No matter if you got two kids or if you got six, you know what I mean? Those are leadership skills. And my hope is that I want women to know that, so that don't shy away. Whatever you want to do, whatever your heart's desire is, to be able to do that and carry that out. And I like what Olivia talked about in terms of working on yourself, that personal development. We all have areas that we need work in, and we have areas that are like fine-tuned and ready to go, you know, and it's good to know what those areas are. That way you can know what you need to work on or what you want to strengthen, and what other type of individuals you want to surround yourself with, so that way you all can be compatible. So definitely look her up, you know, check her out, connect with her. Make sure you continue to watch the Born to Lead docuseries. And I'm your host, Dr. Jacqueline Kabah Harrison. And again, my hope is for us all to be better leaders, to be more efficient, to be more effective, and to increase the impact that we have through our businesses. Also, if you are interested in being interviewed for the Born to Lead docuseries, reach out to me. If you also have a product, you have a virtual event, anything that you're launching, an anthology, you know, like I said, a virtual event, and you want to bring more awareness to it, more visibility, you want global visibility, definitely reach out to me. I could have you either singly or individually or as a group with your speakers and or your co-authors. have you on the show to bring more awareness to your event or your anthology, your project, what have you. Or if you're rebranding and you want an individual interview, you know, definitely reach out to me. I am also the executive producer of the Eight Queens Roundtable channel on the Women Win Television Network, which streams on Roku and Amazon Fire TV, reaching millions globally. So if you're interested in that extra visibility, there are also opportunities to be a show host where you can host your own show on the network. And don't fear, if you want to host your own show, but you don't know where to start, I can also help you with that as well. So be on the lookout for that. And just basically connect with me, because even if you may not work with me, you know, I don't know, the beginning of 2024, maybe the third or fourth quarter, or shall I say the third quarter of the year, maybe we can work together. But let's stay connected so that way we can, you know, stay abreast on different things that I'm doing, as well as different projects that you have, and maybe some form of fashion we can collaborate and work together to increase our impact. So again, stay tuned. Make sure, if you have not done so already, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. This docuseries will be aired live on right here on my YouTube channel, Eight Queens Roundtable, as well as it'll be available on demand on the Women Win Network. All right. So take care, everyone. And I am going to leave you with a little bit more about the Born to Lead, Awaken the Leader Within anthology project. And I will see you. I'll see you next time. All right. Take care, everyone.
Realizing Your Potential LLC presents Born to Lead, Awakening the Leader Within. This anthology brings together women that have overcome hardships in their lives and have managed not only to survive, but thrive. Their stories focus on resiliency, adaptability, and strength, acknowledging the innate strength and leadership qualities in African-American women.